Now, to another side of Macon's music scene that is often overlooked, classical music. World-renowned violinist Robert McDuffie has brought a unique brand of music education to Macon. His McDuffie Center for Strings is what he likes to call the Juilliard of the South. It is housed at Mercer University, where I should say that I'm also on the faculty. As McDuffie Center students work on perfecting their musical abilities, they're also offered a full academic curriculum, along with advice on how to make a financially stable career out of music. McDuffie talked last year with Celeste about his vision for a music conservatory in Macon, and she began by asking the Juilliard-trained musician what he thinks about the Juilliard of the South label.
It's kind of truthful. I mean, we have some students who have been accepted into the Juilliard graduate program already, so I think we're in the same weight class.
What kind of degree do you earn at the McDuffie Center?
It's a Bachelor of Music. That's the official title of the degree. They get a comprehensive music education, especially on the string side, because it is a string conservatory. But we've altered the curriculum in order to prepare the complete independent contracting musician. We don't want our graduates to go out in the world and not know how to read a contract, not know how to raise money, not know how a nonprofit works. The landscape in classical music is shifting at almost daily pace. Our students will have a head start because of the curriculum they're receiving here at Mercer, and that includes the business of music, contract law, dispute resolution, public speaking. So it's not just fiddle players we're churning out here. We're actually preparing entrepreneurial musicians.
And this is the part that interested me, and it's the reason why I chose to go to a public university. I went to Northern Arizona University and the University of Michigan for my music degree rather than a conservatory because I wanted a more broad education.
Brilliant.
In other words, I reckon, and this was the late 90s, but I recognized that the chances that I was going to be able to make my living entirely from music were slim. And I found that the conservatories weren't preparing you to be a secretary during the day.
Exactly. Well, when I came out of Juilliard in 81, I was a very ambitious player. I mean, I was determined to be a soloist, but I had a much greater margin for error. I mean, I could fail a lot at my quest of becoming a, you know, musician. Today, the elite high-level musicians who come out of not only conservatories but schools of music at universities kind of have one chance to make it. And we are very aware of that. And that's why our faculty, who are all visiting distinguished professors, they're all on the front lines of classical music, who come on a revolving door basis, bringing the real world to Macon. The classical music world is shifting towards a self-governing model where musicians will have to have the authority to determine their own destiny instead of depending on a nonprofit board and a management structure.
So let me ask you about another kind of intransigent problem in classical music, and that is diversity. After decades of trying, we seem in the classical music realm, we seem to still be having trouble getting players who are Black or Latino or other minorities. We seem to have trouble then including the works of minority composers in regular seasons. I'm not talking about Black History Month, but just a regular season program. How do you address that as a teacher, as leading a school? How do you bring more diverse faces into your lesson rooms?
Right. What you just brought up, to me, is the most crucial problem that we have in classical music. And I do think it's a matter of survival.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of community art schools in this country that cater towards minority and disenfranchised young people whose parents are so thirsty for these kids to learn. And the kids are wonderful. I was on the board of the Harlem School of the Arts for 10 years. I was able to see that. Two things are missing, in my opinion. One, the teaching, the quality of the teaching, and support from brand name conservatories to turn these community art schools into feeder schools for these famous conservatories. I love Juilliard. Juilliard taught me how to play the fiddle, but Juilliard's investing tens of millions of dollars in satellite conservatories in China instead of investing in their own town in the urban community art schools to oversee and even provide the instruction for the kids when you really need to get them and excite them. It's about the teaching and it's about the commitment. You can just throw so much money at these ideas, but a lot of these community art schools cater to parents and guilty white people. But I can't be talking about this, you know, be on my high horse unless I do something. It's going to take a while for all this to be realized. But if I'm going to go out there and tell my alma mater that they're not doing right by their community, I have to show that we're doing something at our school.
One last question for you, because you have been wanting to turn Bell House into conservatory for years. Why? What is it about Bell House?
Well, I'm from Macon. There are great bones in Macon. There are beautiful, beautiful antebellum structures here. This particular house, to me, was begging for music instead of being just a commercial building with lawyers, accountants, and herbal massage therapist. It's this very special place that these special kids can call home and be very proud of. And the beauty of the building is commensurate with the music we teach.
That's violinist Robert McDuffie. He's the founder of the McDuffie Center for Strings at Mercer University. Celeste Headley spoke with him last year. And that's it for our show today, but we want to hear from you. Who are your favorite Macon musicians? And why do you think the city has been and remains such a music hotspot? Call us at 404-500-9457. That's 404-500-9457. We're on Twitter at OST Talk. You can post to facebook.com/onsecondthoughtradio as well. For today, that's On Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Adam Ragusea in for Celeste Headley this week. Have a great day.